sons of Israel pertaining to the meaning of each one of their names. And of course, we know over here in Genesis 35 and about verse 9 is where that God had spoke to Jacob and told him to return over and go back to Bethel. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and he came out of Padanaram, and he blessed him. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." And I want to just stop right there, I guess, for the sake of time. But we know that Jacob, if you were to look up the Hebrew meaning to the word Jacob, a lot of these names, especially in the Old Testament, even places, Jerusalem itself means founder of God. And a lot of the names that were given to men and to places had a meaning to them. And the name Jacob itself meant subplanter. And then God told him, he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob," but he said, "Your name will be called Israel." And the word Israel means that God strives among. So, but like I said, then we know that Israel was chosen of God to have 12 sons. And with these 12 sons, they were the founding of what would become known in the Old Covenant as the Congregation of the Lord. And it's sort of amazing to me, but then you get into the New Covenant, and God also chose 12 and set them up on a mountain, and they too became known as the Congregation of the Lord or the Church. But hit the highlight on this, I guess. Israel had 12 sons and a daughter. And I want to look at the meaning of the names of his 12 sons. We'll start there on your outline with Judah, one of his sons. And Judah, the meaning of Judah, means praise the Lord. That's the Hebrew meaning of Judah, praise the Lord. And you'll find in Genesis 29:35 there on your outline, "And she, being Leah, had conceived again, and she bare a son, and she said, 'Now will I praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren." So it says, because she said, "I will praise the Lord," she said, "therefore," or in other words, "because I will praise the Lord, I'm going to call his name Judah." So the meaning there of the name Judah actually is praise the Lord. And then if you go and look at one of his other sons by the name of Reuben, R-U-B-E-N, and that word there, Reuben, the Hebrew meaning to that is "has looked up on me." So you'll find there in Genesis 29 and 32, Leah conceived, and she bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord had looked upon me, upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." So if what you see in that is Leah, and we know that there was a little bit of issues going on here with the with Leah and Rebecca, some jealousy going on, and yeah. But don't want to get into all that, but she said that "I'm going to name him Reuben because the Lord had looked upon my affliction." So if you find the Hebrew meaning there, Reuben, it is "has looked upon me." And if you'll just bear with us a little bit, there's a purpose for all these. There is to me. This is something I never had seen until a couple of weeks ago. One of the other sons' name was Gad. The Hebrew word Gad is G-A-W-D. And the meaning of Gad is good fortune. Good fortune. And there in Genesis 30:11, "And Leah said, 'A troop cometh, and she calleth his name Gad.' The word gather, as we said, means fortune. When I looked that up a little bit deeper, a troop meant a gathering, and whenever you get right down to a gathering of good fortune, I guess you'd say a multitude of good fortune, in a sense of speaking. One of the other sons' name is Asher, A-S-H-E-R, and his meaning is a happy. That when you just look up the Hebrew definition of Asher, it's just simply happy. Genesis 30 and 13 there on the outline, Leah again, says, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed, and she called his name Asher." So there we have her making a comment that happy am I. So because of that, she named his name name Asher, which means happy. Then we get down to Dan, one of his other sons. And Dan means that God has judged, or he had judged. And that's the meaning. And you'll find in Genesis 30, verse 4. Now, Dan, of course, the mother of Dan was Rachel. And she, being Rachel, gave him, talking about Israel, gave him Bella, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bella conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan." And of course we know at the time Rachel's womb was closed that she couldn't bear, and there was some jealousy things going on there, and some hurtful feelings and things, and so she gave to her husband her handmaid, and her handmaid bare him a son, and his name was Dan, and she said that God had judged me and had also heard my voice and had given me a son. Therefore, because of that, because God has judged her, therefore she called his name Dan. Get down to one of the other sons. Larry needs to be in here to pronounce some of these words for me. Naphtali, N-A-P-H-T-A-L-I. And that word there means wrestling, wrestling. And Genesis 30 and 7 is where Naphtali comes in. And it says, "And Bala," again, the handmaid of Rachel, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. So there again, the name Naphtali actually means wrestling. And then if you want to turn your page over on the backside, we'll come to, I don't know if that's Simon or Simeon. I guess it's Simeon. The definition there is God hears me. Genesis 29 and 33. "And she, being Leah, conceived again. And she bare a son and said, Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he had therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon." So the word there, his name means God hears me. So she called him Simeon. Hang with us just a little bit longer. Levi. Levi is the next ones of the sons of Israel that we want to speak about. His name actually means to join or to connect. I guess I was a little surprised at that one, but that's what the Hebrew definition is to join or to connect. So Leah conceived again, and she bare a son, and said, "Now, this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have bore three sons." Therefore, his name was called Levi. I guess in a sense of speaking, Leah sort of felt left out, that she knew that Jacob or Israel seemed to have loved Rachel more so, and she felt like because that she was blessing her husband with three sons, that surely he'll be joined to me. And so that's where that name come in at. And then we get into Benjamin, and the meaning of Benjamin is the son of his right hand. 35:18 says, "And it came to pass as her soul was departing." This is talking about Rachel, for she had died, that she called his name Benjamin, but his father, being Israel, called his name Benjamin. And that word Benjamin means son of his own right hand. Then we, and of course, she actually died giving birth there to Benjamin. Issachar means reward, or rewarded me. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob, the fifth son. And Leah said, "God had given me my hire, or my reward, because I have given my maiden to my husband," and she called his name Issachar. And there again, the word Issachar means rewarded me. Then we come to Joseph, and the meaning there of Joseph with the Hebrew is will add unto me. And she, being Rachel, conceived and bare a son, and said, "God had taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." These are not in chronological order as far as the first, the oldest to the youngest. These are not all in order, but they are the 12 sons of Israel, out of order, so to speak. I guess I'm out of order this morning. And then we want to talk about Zebulun. The last one that we want to look at, this will be the 12th son. And his meaning is dwelling place of honor. That's typically what Zebulun means, is a dwelling place of honor. And find in Genesis 30:19, "And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob, the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have bore him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. So there, again, dwelling place of honor is the meaning of that name. And like we said, the meaning, sometimes you look at things and we overlook a lot, and it probably, some of that stuff probably don't really mean too much to some people, or, you know, others it may. And it was, like I said, it caught my interest a couple of weeks ago. But the names of even in the New Testament, or when we get into the New Testament Asia, you take Barnabas. The word there, Barnabas, means to exhort or to encourage. You know, that. And that's exactly what he was. He was an encourager. You could, when you read about him, you could see he, you know, he was just exactly that. Peter, the name Peter, we know it meant small stone, and he was a stone. He was a pillar in the church. Matthew means a gift of God. So these meanings are important. But then when you sort of take and you look at them and you sort of put them together. We come back, turn your page back over, and let's go back up here to the top again, and we'll just start down through here. But God orchestrates things, and he does things for a purpose. And, of course, when we look at Judah and Reuben, and you can go over, and I don't remember, I think it's the 49th chapter of Genesis where Israel had called his sons together, and he sort of prophesied of each one of them and what their lives would be and things. I wish I'd have took time to look at some of that, but when you put these meanings together, I want you to think of it this way. Judah, praise the Lord. Reuben has looked upon me. God has looked upon me. And and Gad, a good fortune. And just something that, you know, if you really, I wish I could find this in the Bible, and I wish I got in this a couple of weeks ago when I very first seen it, because I can't keep from believing when you put all of these meanings together, I believe there's probably a Psalms or a scripture in the Bible that goes right along with it. If you put these meanings together, and you start at the top, and you says, "I will praise the Lord," starting at Judah, "praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord." And then Reuben, "for he has looked upon me," and the third, "with good fortune." So, "I will praise the Lord, for he has looked upon me with good fortune." You keep on going down. He says, "Happy am I, for he has judged me of all my wrestlings. God hears me and is joined unto me, and his son and his right hand had rewarded me and will add to me a dwelling place of honor." And there may be nothing at all to that, but that was something that definitely, when I got to looking at the meanings of these names, you can line all these up and put them all together. And they may not be a verse in there that says anything close to that, but it's definitely Bible, because we are to praise the Lord, for he has looked upon us with good fortune, every one of us, and we are, as he says, "Happy am I, for he has judged me of all my wrestling," past tense, took care of all of that, all of our troubles and heartaches. "God also hears me and is joined unto me, and his son of his right hand," talking about Jesus himself, "had rewarded me and will give and will add to me a dwelling place of honor." And I know that probably don't make a bit of sense to most of us, but I just thought I don't have a clue. Whenever you look over in Revelations, over there it talks about the song of the redeemed over there, and it talks about how that no man understood that song except for the 144,000. Many times these things that whenever that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus one time, and he said that you couldn't see, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that word "see" means understand when you really get down to it. He's not talking about visibly seeing it, but he's talking about understanding it. You cannot understand the kingdom of God until you've been born again. Yeah. Lost people cannot understand that song of the redeemed until they've been redeemed. They have to be first redeemed. I don't know. God has orchestrated. He's put things together here, and I have no clue if this would have anything to do with that song, a portion of it or not. But I do know that there's a purpose for these names. That there's a purpose of the meaning of their names. And seemed like when you stack them all together, it's pretty neat stuff to me anyway. So, like I said, I wish. I sort of looked at some of this stuff a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, boy, that's pretty neat. And I just really hadn't took the time to look into it. And then when Lisa told me last night that I had to teach Sunday school, that's the only thing I could get on my mind. I think, God, I don't know this. But so maybe this is just a suggestion for you guys to look at more, and maybe some of you can dig into this a lot deeper than I ever will. But to me, it was somewhat interesting in just knowing that there is a meaning for those names, and when you put them together, it just sort of seemed like it fit a little bit to me. So, sort of enjoyed it. But anyway, that would probably be the conclusion of this one. It got me to thinking this morning. I thought, well, those names, what they meant. I got to thinking about. I thought, well, what about the 12 that the Lord took up on the mountain with him, and what about the meaning of their names. I thought, so I thought, well, there's some future study, and maybe if I'm maybe I'll study that out a little bit more than I have this, if we have to ever look into that. So, but anyway, we'll let that be it, I guess, for now. And like I said, nothing else. Maybe it'll just get you roused up to where you can find something in here more than I found. All right, just I guess consider yourself being dismissed. Certainly, let's be considerate of everything that's going on around about us, and be considerate of others. And that's what this is all about. I mean, the way I see it, the way you see it, the way Brother Jill sees it, we need to consider what others think. So let's be considerate and just be in prayer. Glad to hear of those that have been saved and Friendship Revival. You take those that got saved and you ask them, did they regret having the revival? I don't know how to, we can't control this thing. We just do the best that we can do and pray that God will help see us through it. So anyway, we'll consider ourselves dismissed to church time.